Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture this morning, as we continue in our Wesleyan rooted sermon series, is from the Gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from the 15th chapter. You're welcome to follow along with the words or pull the Pew Bible out and turn to page 1272. Words are hard. All right, friends, hear now these words. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and let the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. So a little context. This is the tail end of the parable of the lost son. And to set this in mind, think about the father had two sons, an older son and a younger son. And the older son, you know, worked for his father and tended to all the flock and the land. But the younger son basically went to the father and said, "I want my inheritance now," which was highly unheard of, incredibly disrespectful to the patriarchal society. But the father gave the youngest son all of the things that he would have been entitled to. The young son went off and basically squandered his inheritance and finally got to a place where he realized that the life that he had with his family was better than where he was now, and he made that decision to return home to see his father. And so it's in that returning home that the father is looking out and sees the son approach and runs to his lost son. And the lost son acknowledges, "I am not worthy, for I have sinned against you and upon our God." And the father still welcomed and embraced and celebrated the return of the son that was lost. Now we hear this, and then we wonder, how is this an example for us of extending and embracing widely as God does? So sometimes we can dig into this parable, and we may think of the father as the representative representing God. Right? We have the older son who stays in residence and takes care of all the things and does everything that God asks, or not the the father asks. And then when the youngest son comes, he's the one who has an issue with it. Like, how could you welcome him back? I've been here the whole time. And the father says to him, "Don't you know that everything that I have is already yours?" And so we know that there's this dynamic, and then the younger son. What's interesting is if we put this scripture into action and actually read it and worked it out like actors, right? We could have the father and the older son and the younger son. And what's interesting is that the father is looking in hopes that someday his son will return. In that particular moment, he could tell it was his son, even though time and distance had separated them. He could tell that that was his lost son who was coming back. Now, in that time, I can tell you that fathers would not have run out on the road to meet the younger children. I want you to think about that. They would have stayed and waited to receive people. But this father actually ran out and embraced his son in the middle of the road. That is very much like what God does for us. That God meets us where we are, and sometimes maybe steps a little bit farther closer to us because we are farther away from God than God wants us to be. Ultimately, we understand God to be a God of love, and that love is what binds us and draws us together, that we can be in this right relationship with God, and not only right relationship with God, but right relationship with one another. And so as we dig into this Wesleyan rooted understanding within our own denomination, today we're talking about how to embrace widely. And I got to tell you, it is hard because there are so many ideologies and theologies and viewpoints and perspectives. And sometimes we try to come together, you know, based on similarities and seek homogeneity. And that is not what God wants of us. He doesn't want sameness. What God desires for us is oneness. It understands that we are all uniquely crafted individuals, life experiences, but we are drawn to be one body under Christ. In some places, there is a song that is sung as in to speak into reality, a hope, a dream, a vision. And it goes like this. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song, no one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. God, the still point of the circle, round you all creation turns, nothing lost but held forever in God's gracious arms. Let our hearts touch far horizons, so encompass great and small. Let our loving know no borders, faithful to God's call. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamed before. Let the dream of Christ be in us. Open every door. Draw the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side, draw the circle wide. Thanks be to God for a love that does this for us and with us. We are called to draw that circle wide because the expansiveness of God's love is beyond our imaginations and our wildest dreams, and there is space and room for everyone. Back on Pentecost Sunday, we blessed our graduating seniors, and we asked them to take a little Jesus with them to remember this. And we gave everybody little Jesuses to take into their places to share with others, to kind of capture where Jesus, you saw Jesus at work. And, you know, as I'm thinking about draw the circle wide to embrace everyone, here's the thing. We took Jesus, but Jesus was already there. And to see where Jesus was already helps our imaginations to understand how wide the circle of God actually is. So friends, let's take a look about how you standing side by side drew that circle wide this summer. Thank you to Ashley who compiled all of that. How did that feel for you to see Jesus? all of those little Jesuses everywhere? How is it with your heart? Yeah. What an amazing opportunity for us. And what wasn't shown there was also that I told the story of the coffee shop that I went there, and I saw a little Jesus was already there. And so it reminds us that sometimes we think that we're the ones doing the work. But in actuality, it's God who is doing the work through Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we get to stand alongside, side by side with God to make that circle wide, that we may embrace so widely and completely that God's love is experienced by people and in places that really needs Jesus. So friends, today, remember that as Wesleyans, we are called to go out into the world, to be in those places, to be outside of the confines of a building, that our church is actually the people living our faith out into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.